This is the Big Blue Bug Solution Show with Tony DeJesus. Got something bugging you? Call Tony now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. The Big Blue Bug Solution Show on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO.
Good morning and happy Saturday to you. It's kind of a drizzly, dank day out there today, but, you know, AccuWeather's telling us tomorrow's going to be a lot better, and by this afternoon, maybe the sun's out a little bit, and you can get out there and do a little bit of yard work, or maybe you're a golfer, or a hiker, fisher, you want to get out there in the woods, and let me tell you, if you do, there's something you've got to worry about. You've got to worry about deer ticks and Lyme disease. And to that end today, we have a very special show. If you have friends that have Lyme disease or are concerned, get them on the phone, call them up right away, let them know we're going to be, you know, kind of dedicating this hour of our show to Lyme disease and deer ticks and their control. And we have a very special guest in studio. And if you are not getting up early in the morning on Saturdays and listening to you, you're missing out on some great entertainment. He is Dr. Stephen Pettirudi from Intellectual Medicine right here on WPRO. Dr. Pettirudi, thank you very much for coming in.
It's my delight. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning. Happy Earth Day.
Yes, happy Earth Day. Huh? Get out there, maybe do a little bit of work. And you know, for people who are out there, you know, everybody hears Lyme disease, the word Lyme disease, and, you know, but a lot of people don't know what Lyme disease is. It's not like the flu and things like that. What exactly is Lyme disease?
Well, Lyme disease is a disease that is transmitted by the deer tick, and we'll talk about the lifespan of it, Tony,
yes,
and how you can help interfere with its propagation.
Mm-hmm.
Lyme disease can manifest itself with a range of symptoms. There's a classic rash that can occur. But folks, remember, this bug and this disease does not read the textbook. And I would say that any unusual rash that you get, particularly from May through the summer months, deserves an investigation by your doctor. The bullseye rash that you'll see if you Google Lyme disease does occur on occasion, Tony, but I've seen other types of rashes manifest in Lyme, so that's worth looking at. The Lyme disease occurs in three stages. The first stage is the acute illness. It can be the rash called erythema chronica migrans, or it can present just as a summer flu.
Mm-hmm.
A summer flu is Lyme disease until proven otherwise. If you have muscle aches and fever, you get checked because we are at ground zero for Lyme disease, as you know.
Yes.
There's no place perhaps in the world with more of it than Rhode Island. Stage two Lyme disease is after the initial infection.
Mm-hmm.
You've recovered, and now it can nail your joints. It can affect your heart, causing irregular heartbeats. It can affect the joints, causing pain and swelling. Now, many folks will get a low-grade illness, not think anything of it. That could be stage one Lyme, and then it goes out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will get a rash, not think anything of it. That'll be stage one Lyme. It goes out of them, and they get nailed with the joint as well as some of these other issues. And then finally, there's tertiary Lyme, where it can get into the central nervous system and cause all sorts of misery, fatigue, and aching. So it's a sneaky disease that we always need to have our antenna up for.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, for you, the you listeners out there, if you want to call in, you have questions about Lyme disease, you have questions about ticks, this is the opportunity to get online with an expert who can answer some of those questions. And, you know, Dr. Pettirudi, you hear the talk all the time about chronic Lyme. It is, and I guess there's some controversy in the medical community about, is there chronic Lyme, is there not chronic Lyme?
Right. Some controversy would be putting it mildly. There is a civil war underway,
uh-huh,
and there is a community of individuals that have gathered together around the diagnosis of chronic Lyme disease. Tony, these are people that are sincerely suffering. They're having chronic pain. They're having neurologic impairment. They go to their doctor, and the doctor says, well, we're going to treat you for Lyme, 3 weeks of antibiotic. Have a nice life. I hope you get better. And if you don't, well, it can't be chronic Lyme because the mainstream of medicine says it doesn't exist. Therefore, we're going to cease treatment and we're going to send you. If you Google chronic Lyme, and I did this the other day, and you look for people who treat it, you know what the most prevalent specialty is?
No.
Psychiatry.
Oh, boy.
Why psychiatry?
Think about that.
It makes no sense.
Somebody's suffering.
Because somebody's suffering with a treatable disease, you're going to dump them in a psychiatrist's office so they can cope better with the idea that they're miserable.
Wow.
So now there is a legitimate concern from the mainstream of medicine. It is that the symptoms of chronic Lyme are so broad that they can represent so many other entities. Chronic fatigue, brain fog, chronic muscle aching, difficulty with memory, neurologic symptoms like twitching and visual symptoms. Mm-hmm. When you look up chronic Lyme and you list those symptoms, Tony, they fall under other categories as well.
Okay.
And here's one thing. A thoughtful, comprehensive primary care doctor is your best friend in sifting through this. Mm-hmm. If you self-refer to a Lyme center, you're going to come out with a diagnosis of Lyme.
Wow.
It's like when you pull into a restaurant and all they serve are burgers, you're getting a burger.
You get a burger. That's it. Exactly.
Now, look, some of my colleagues that are exclusively focused on nothing but Lyme, mm-hmm. it becomes challenging to consider a broader range of diagnostic options.
Okay.
So if you are using that resource, mm-hmm. it should be complemented with either your family doc or a good rheumatologist, people that can help integrate other potential diagnoses. Mm-hmm. Chronic Lyme, I believe, exists.
All right.
I think that, hey, if I can I take a moment and tell you what this bug looks like?
Absolutely.
The spirochete looks like a corkscrew, folks, and it can drill into little nooks and crannies of your body, and it can evade detection by your immune system. So when you do the blood test, it comes back negative,
yep.
but the spirochete's still there asleep. Now, you've heard of shingles.
Right, yes. Okay, yep, no. I had my shingles shot.
Good job. But shingles is nothing more than a reactivation of the varicella virus that gave you chickenpox as a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that can go to sleep for decades. It can reawaken and cause new disease.
Wow.
Many of us believe Lyme does the same thing. It can go to sleep, and then it can reawaken and cause a new round of symptom.
Wow.
It's tough.
It really is. We have a caller on the line. And by the way, if you want to get online, you have questions about Lyme disease, about ticks, about treatment for the ticks, treatment for the Lyme disease and questions, you have an expert in studio with me today, Dr. Stephen Pettirudi. And we're going to go right now to Mary from Foster. Mary, good morning. You're on the Big Blue Bug Solution Show.
Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering, can you spray for the bugs that are, or what do they call them?
The ticks?
Yeah, can you spray for that?
Yes, you can, Mary. There are treatments that can be done, and you have to do it during the season when the ticks are prevalent from about now all the way through October.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing, and you do it in a series of treatments because the ticks can keep coming back. They can be reintroduced to your yard.
Yeah.
So, yes, yards can be treated for that.
Yeah.
That's so critical, Mary. I'm glad you brought that point up. And, Tony, you guys have a program.
Yes, we do.
For tick abatement.
Yeah, we do have a program. It's a mosquito and tick program. And the thing with ticks is they're not way up in the trees. They don't jump. They don't fly. They hang out in the tall, grassy areas on the tips of plants. Those are the areas that need to be treated. They are not in the center of your lawn. They will dry up and die. They are not, same as mosquitoes, they don't go to the center of the lawn. They're in the shade areas. And unfortunately, Dr. Pepper, we're so concerned about getting skin cancer and things. Where do we put our lawn chairs and the kids' play yards and the swing sets and everything?
It's in
the shady areas.
Wow. And it's tough to keep sunblock on the kids all the time. And they're out there playing and they're on those fringe areas like you talked about.
Right. So you really do have to be careful about that, Mary.
Now,
I worked in my gardens for years and years and years and years, many years. I'm 86 years old.
Bless you.
And I never had a tick on my body, ever. But when I went out, I put Vaseline on certain areas, and I never had a tick of any kind. But now I'm getting old. I can't walk without a walker.
Yep.
I would like to get out in my garden, but... And I could call the office to find out how much that would cost. Right?
Yes, you can. They'll give you a free estimate.
I have a girlfriend that comes here. She brings her dog everywhere she goes,
mm-hmm.
and he's always got ticks. And I told her, not in my house, he's not coming, you know?
Sure.
And she comes. She had 7 or 8 ticks on her one day when she came into my house.
Oh, boy.
So... I think that I would like to get sprayed if I can afford it. So.
Sure. They have programs they can work for you, and you tell them you want a senior discount, too, because we give senior discounts for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm 86 years old. I never thought I'd ever... I've been sick since I was 3 years old with all kinds of different things. Never thought I'd get to be 86, but I'll be 87 in June.
Well, good for you.
And guess what Matt Allen did last year?
What is that?
He said, you've got to... write Mary from Foster birthday card.
Oh.
And he says, and you've got to send them. Well, you've got to send at least 86. Well, guess what? How many I got?
How many did you get?
200.
Wow.
and this one, he said, now, you know, Mary's birthday is coming up. And you better get 500 cards out this year.
All right, Mary.
You know, I had 10 cards every single day. I couldn't keep up with them.
Well, that's great, Mary. Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
Yeah, God bless.
Thank you very much. Our phone numbers here are 438-WPRO, toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. You want to get on and get your Lyme disease questions answered or your tick questions answered, please pick up the phone, give us a call. Now, Dr. Pedretti, with Lyme disease, there's always, I always hear the false positive that is, and you were mentioning about it is difficult. So what does a person do if you've got that crank, that achy, that painy, you go to your doctor, he does the blood test, says, nope, not Lyme disease.
Yep. I think that you've got to pursue your symptoms to the point of getting them resolved and answered. If you're left with symptoms that don't have a ready answer, you want to find an intellectually based provider who's going to peel back the conventional layers and look for the cause. What I see a lot in our practice, after Lyme, there's also this condition called post-Lyme syndrome.
Okay.
I liken it to a kitchen fire where there's been destruction done by the spirochete.
Mm-hmm.
You take the antibiotic, the spirochete is now dead.
Okay.
But you're still impaired. And you're left because this spirochete can interfere with brain function, can interfere with hormone production, and oftentimes leaves the individual weakened for a durable period of time. So we have to reconstruct those elements, give them, we have intravenous treatments and hormonal treatments intended to bring them back to life. Sometimes post-Lyme syndrome will get mislabeled as chronic Lyme. That is, sometimes the provider, the docs, will perceive the spirochete as still being alive within the patient, thereby causing the symptom. And they'll end up on 1, 2, 3 years of steady antibiotics without full resolution. That's a point of departure. You know, the antibiotics themselves can be a problem.
Wow.
So we try to get them towards other treatment pathways.
Okay. Our phone number's here, 438-WPRO, toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. Kevin from Cumberland, you'll be up next when we come back. It's time for us to take a little break. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, the voice of Southern New England.
The Big Blue Bug Solution Show continues on WPRO. Got something bugging you? Call Tony now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
Good morning. We are back on the air. My name is Tony DeJesus. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. And we are talking today about Lyme disease and about deer ticks. And if you have friends out there that have Lyme disease and they have some questions about it, get on the phone, give them a call. Or if that's you, our phone number is here, 438-WPRO and toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. You know, Dr. Perry, we were talking off air a little bit about the diagnosis of Lyme disease and how, you know, things like fibromyalgia, because I've heard you mention about chronic body aches and then the tremors and then chronic Lyme and like fibromyalgia and things like Parkinson's, they can be very close to separate the difference there.
Right. A couple of points worth mentioning. Half the people who get Lyme disease never had a tick bite that they can recall. As you know, the nymph stage of this bug is tiny and can be undetected.
Yep.
I believe in Rhode Island that we should get a Lyme test every year. And if your Lyme test is negative, 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 3 years in a row, and you go back and it's positive, you've been exposed.
Right.
Even if you feel well, a cycle of antibiotic is reasonable. I liken this. Remember the day when they used to do the tuberculosis test?
Right, yes. And they would get the thing in the arm there.
They would do it every year. And because we know TB can be sneaky, you can get infected and not manifest a symptom right away, and we want to know if that's happening. Hey, Rhode Island is ground zero. I know some docs that are very resistant to this approach. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sick and you want to be tested for Lyme, you should request it. It should be done. And if not, I think you should find a new doc.
Yeah, you know, and again, and I think it's an important point you brought up is that, you know, you have to have that relationship with your doctor, that trust, and but the fact that if you're not getting what you want from that physician, you need to maybe get a second opinion, go someplace else.
You got to move on, you know, because if this thing goes untreated, it is one of the reversible causes of dementia. Tertiary Lyme can look like Alzheimer's dementia as it corrodes the brain. Now, Rhode Island Hospital has a nice program where they can do an MRI of the brain and a PET scan of the brain, and they can determine if there are findings consistent with possible tertiary or neurologic Lyme. Huh. Here's the rub, though, Tony. There is no guaranteed test. I cannot do a singular test that says, Eureka, you definitely have it, or good news, you definitely do not have it. So you've got to move forward. And what we'll do in a case like that, if we're suspicious it may be present,
right,
we'll treat with 2 to 3 weeks of intravenous antibiotic,
mm-hmm,
so that we can kill the bug, especially when it's something as devastating as Alzheimer's hanging
right
in the balance.
That's incredible. Right now we have a caller on the line. Our phone number's here. If you want to get online with us, talk a little bit about Lyme disease or ticks, our phone number's here, 438-WPRO and toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. We have Kevin on the line from Cumberland. Kevin, how are you today?
Not bad, Tony. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Pettirulli. How are you?
Good morning. Great, thanks.
Good, good. Tony, I don't know if you remember, I called, but it was 2 weeks ago now. This show was scheduled for last Saturday, but
right,
there was an interruption. I'm the guy who says, you know, my wife and I, we spend considerable time out in the woods, mm-hmm, at the right or wrong time of the year, depending on how you look at it. I mentioned this product. It's a treatment for your clothing. Insect Shield, do you recall that?
Yes, yep.
Yeah. I would say prevention is, what's that? I'm not sure that's the saying. Prevention is the better part of something or other, but
yep.
I can attest to the effectiveness of this product, this clothing. You treat your own clothes. You can send them in. It's well worth the price. Like I said last week, I think I told you I had it, found a tick, and I put it on a pair of pants that I had
right
treated. And,
yes,
and the thing was, it was on a horizontal surface. The thing was just basically trying to get off. It couldn't fall off because it was laying down horizontally. It died within 30 seconds.
Well, you're bringing up a great point. You know, I like to do backwoods camping, Tony. And before I take off to the woods, I get permethrine.
Yeah.
And I coat all of my gear with it. I coat my clothing with it. And we take a little bit of DEET and put it on the exposed skin. But that permethrine will last for several washings.
Yes, it will.
But the spray, if you buy a product in an outdoor store or something like that, the actual spray that you apply lasts for, they say, 5 or 6 washings. When they treat it at this company, it's insectshield.com is the website for it. When they treat it, it's basically treated for the life of the garment, or they say like 70 plus washings.
Oof.
And like if you're going to have clothing treated, we did like light colored clothing so you can see if there's anything on you, obviously crawling.
Mm-hmm.
I spray my shoe. I spray my wife and I. We spray our boots down because that's the only thing we haven't treated.
Right.
I'm still paranoid about it. You know, it's a healthy paranoia. At the end of the day, I don't really have to worry so much.
Well, I don't think it's paranoid. I think it's intellectually rational.
You
know, we were talking about your this being ground zero for tick disease and about what we can do that's rational for prevention. And thank you from offering up the option of a more durable treatment for maybe outdoor workers.
Exactly.
You're going to wear a uniform every day and you're constantly going outdoors. Most of us weekend warriors maybe don't need something as extensive.
Right.
But you combine that approach, Tony, with a tick abatement program that you guys offer.
Yep.
And now you can enjoy your backyard and not be constantly thinking about, geez, what if I get sick?
Yeah, and you mentioned about treating your shoes and your gear. Dr. Tom Mather from the University of Rhode Island says you can stop the deer tick from getting out, about 70% reduce your risk by spraying your shoes and socks.
Yep.
So, you know, it's really an important thing to take care of and get ahead of it. And that's really the most important thing.
Yeah, that's another resource, Tony. You mentioned that last week was Dr. Mather's, well, your website, tickencounter.org.
Yes.
It's very good. You know, it's your skin will crawl after you spend 10 minutes on that website, but it's well worth it. And like I said, it's not a paranoia. It's a healthy aversion, or, you know, you're just trying to take all the possible measures. And I take all the possible measures I can, even if my exposure is limited. I don't want to limit my treatment and you know, risk my health.
Do you get a Lyme test every year?
I don't. No, I don't.
See, I would recommend that.
I was going to run that by my doctor and ask him for both of us, my wife and I.
Yep.
I'd hate to just go on to another doctor because I love my doc. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I think I'll run it by him next time.
You know, the fact that you spend so much time outdoors, you know, again, as Dr. Pettirulli said, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
Get ahead of this.
All right. That's pretty much all I got.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you very much. People are starting to wake up. The lines are lighting up for some questions on Lyme disease. But right now, we have to take a little break. And the news and information continues in the Revolution Software Newsroom with Doug Lizette.
The Big Blue Bug Solution Show continues on WPRO. Got something bugging you? Call Tony now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
Good morning, and we are back. My name is Tony DeJesus. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. I have a very special guest in the studio if you're just tuning in. He's Dr. Stephen Pettirudi. His show precedes mine. If you haven't listened, get up in the morning and listen to Intellectual Medicine because you're going to get a whole different take on things that can be done for you and keeping you healthy. And so, Dr. Pettirudi, thank you very much for coming in today.
It's a delight.
We're going to have a caller on the line right now, Barbara from Smithfield, and she wants to know what happens after one diagnosis. Barbara, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Once you've been diagnosed with Lyme and you do take the antibiotics and everything, Claire, can you, in that process, still get Lyme again?
You sure can. Unfortunately, it can reinfect you, and it makes it harder to diagnose in the future. But if you've acquired Lyme, the vast majority of people with a good intact immune system after a cycle of oral antibiotics are going to get fully recovered and never have anything more bad happen to them. However, you can get it again next year, the year after. Theoretically, you might be more resilient because your immune system is up to snuff. And there are lots of folks who get Lyme disease and never know it, or I should say they get exposed to Lyme and they never know it because your immune system obliterates it. This is part of the equation that we sometimes overlook, Tony.
Yep.
It's the need to keep our immune system robust so that we can ward off infections. So, yes, you can get it again. You can test the blood and see how much the titer for Lyme disease has increased. So if you're doing this test every year, let's say 1 year your titer level is 4, and the next year it's 50. Well, that can indicate re-exposure.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of you get a baseline in the beginning with these tests. And go from there.
Right. You can get a baseline, and there are different things that the docs can look for. There are immune antibodies that respond immediately that can tell you've had a recent infection. Those tend to go away, but they could return again upon reinfection. So that can
and
help.
The antibiotic completely obliterates it, right? For that infection.
I wish it were that complete. The antibiotics, for most people, do completely obliterate it. For the sad few, however, the disease can persist despite treatment.
Mm. Right. Which is not, it's like seldom reoccurring, you know, symptoms, you know, the headache, body ache.
I would say that's true. I would say that the majority of people get well, stay well. Unfortunately, there is a small minority, and it's not that small either. There's a significant minority that do persist in symptoms.
Okay.
All right,
you.
Barbara, thank you very much. You know, Doctor, I'm thinking, you know, even about myself. You know, I've got some arthritis that's running the family for years, and you know, so I do have aches and pains and everything. You know, you know, periodically, and you know, how do you differentiate, or what do you, you know, should I'm thinking now? Maybe I'm going to ask my doctor next time when I go and to be tested for Lyme, just so he's got that baseline that look.
You know, I do like the idea of the baseline, but let's talk about the muscle aches and pains that many people experience.
Right.
Hey, if you're getting along with a high quality of life, and every now and then things hurt a little bit, you march on.
Yep, exactly.
Even if it's Lyme disease, if it's not affecting you to a level that would compel you to get treatment, then you don't need to dig.
Okay.
You can enjoy life.
All right.
But on the other hand, there are folks that the pain is compelling.
Right.
The memory impairment is overwhelming. The fatigue is absolutely obliterating. Mm-hmm. That deserves to be looked into.
Okay, very good. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show. We have Dr. Stephen Pettirudi from Intellectual Medicine in the house with me, talking about Lyme disease and deer ticks. Right now you can get online with me, 438-WPRO and toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. We're going to go to Anthony in North Smithfield. Anthony, you have a question, I guess, about the organisms of Lyme disease?
Yes. This organism is very difficult to culture, isn't it? Because it's a very slow-growing organism, I take it.
It is.
One of the difficulties with diagnosis. It's similar to the TB organism. That's one of the problems. They depend on... you know, the presence of antibodies and the titer, of course.
Right. The organism itself is a spirochete, that corkscrew shape, and it's also similar to syphilis in its capacity to evade the immune system and to create persistent infection.
Yes.
You can test for the antibodies against the spirochete. There's something called a PCR test, polymerase chain reaction, where you can test for fragments of the spirochete's DNA in your blood. But you're right, Anthony, it's really hard to culture it and to be absolutely certain about a diagnosis.
All right, Anthony?
Yes, I think that's one of the good things. And the thing is, I don't spend on a lot of part of the show. It tends to almost go into a dormant stage and hide and protect itself. It's amazing that it evolved that way, isn't it?
It is. The notion of dormant Lyme disease and dormant spirochetes is controversial, and some doctors would opine that it doesn't exist. I do disagree with them. I have seen too many clinical cases where somebody who once had Lyme, feeling good, on a recovery road, and all of a sudden they're right back in the divot again. And it seems reasonable that this spirochete can hide and can go dormant and then come back out again, much like the shingles Tony and I were talking about earlier.
Right, exactly. And even some people who've had immunization against shingles, somehow, sometimes it's elusive. Mm-hmm. The immune system being so dynamic, you know, with each individual, it's like a fingerprint. And like you were saying, some people respond differently.
Well, here's one thing for sure. You know, the immune system is like an organ like anything else in your body. You can look in the mirror, you can see your face getting wrinkled and say, man, I'm getting older. However, your immune system is getting old as well. It's called immunologic senescence. And there are things that can be done to prop up your immune system as you move through life. That's part of our focus, Anthony, when we talk about intellectual medicine. It's making sure not only that your brain and your body stay young, but their immune system stays young. That's the number one cause of most illnesses.
Right. And that's one thing that somehow has been elusive for many people. We have to keep our immune system strengthened and able to respond. You know, the immune system is amazing when you think about it. I mean, if you think that it responds to certain antigens the way it does, like, for instance, there's a protein in pancreatic tissue, which is similar to the protein in milk, and some people inadvertently build up antibodies that juvenile onset diabetes and so forth.
Well, your point's well taken. The immune system is the core of our health in many ways, and taking good care of it is part of the approach to Lyme prevention. You know, we can't just sit around waiting to get infected and hope antibiotics do the trick, right?
Absolutely.
You gotta get out there, do the spray, protect your yard, and then protect your own health by keeping your immune system up to full speed.
All right, so Anthony, we're up against the break here. Thank you very much for your phone call. Our phone number's here, 438-WPRO, toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show. We're going to go right now to Lisa from Warwick. Lisa, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. My question is in regard to prevention. You mentioned permethrin, I believe.
Yes.
Is that a chemical or a natural substance? Is it safe? Is it considered carcinogenic, especially to children under 12?
Good questions. It is and when we talk about pesticides, I mean, pesticides are designed to kill things. So you've always got to be careful. You have to read the labels, use them properly. It is not a carcinogenic pesticide right now. But again, you little children, you don't apply permethrin to yourself. You apply permethrin to your clothing.
To your clothing, and can that also be sprayed in the yard?
Yes, it can. It can be sprayed in the yard. And for tick control, again, it's not the lawn that you want to treat. It's the shrub areas, under your deck, under your shed, if you have shed. The shade areas, that's where the ticks like to hang out. So it's not going to be something you use. We use a four-product approach for treating. Two of them are completely organic or a natural products. One, pyrethrin, rather, that comes, which is a synthetic. The natural product of the permethrin is a synthetic pyrethrin. We use that in conjunction with a peppermint and rosemary oil spray that works really very well.
Okay, and as far as DEET, is that okay to apply to the skin, or should that only be applied to clothing?
Absolutely, no. DEET is definitely recommended by the CDC to apply to the skin. And I know, Dr. Petteri, when you go camping, I'm sure you're...
Yeah, and Lisa is raising some great points here. And Lisa, what you're talking about ultimately is risk versus benefits. And I can tell you, when I go camping, all of my kids had permethrin on their clothing and they had DEET on their exposed skin. You want to be conservative. The best thing to do is use the permethrin. It's the least toxic. It doesn't get on the skin. DEET is a neurotoxin, and in high doses, it can transfer through the skin and cause harm to the host, to the person. However, you got to weigh it against the risk of Lyme and the other infections that are devastating. So enjoy the outdoors. I love Tony's idea of putting the permethrin on shoes and socks. I think that's brilliant and will help to cut off some of the access. We use Big Blue Bug Solutions at my medical office and at our home, and I feel confident that the manner in which it's being applied is the safest it can be done. You know, nobody gets out without some scrapes and bumps. But as far as cancer concerned, Lisa, there's no connection between judicious use of DEET, permethrin, and malignancy. So I think you can safely protect your children and not worry about the exposure being causing harm.
Okay, great. Thank you for answering that. And just a quick follow-up. Do you know if the Department of Health or if the state of Rhode Island is going to be doing any aerial spraying for this?
Boy, I sure as hell hope not.
None whatsoever. Aerial spraying for ticks doesn't do any good, to be honest with you. You need to get down low where the ticks are, not up high.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Our phone number's here, 438-WPRO, toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. Joe and Narragansett, you'll be up next when we come back. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, the voice of Southern New England.
The Big Blue Bug Solution Show continues on WPRO. Got something bugging you? Call Tony now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Small Business Saturdays with John Laughlin. Tune into the John Laughlin Show during this morning, during his new time slot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join John as he talks about local retail and small business in our community with MTTI and CCONC at noon. Brought to you by Navigant Credit Union, NavigantCU.org, and WPRO.
All right. We are back. You're listening to the Big Blue Bug Solution Show. We're going to go right now to Joe in Narragansett. Joe, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony and Dr. Pettirudi.
Morning, Joe.
I love the show.
Thank you.
Dr. Pettirudi, you reassured me on that DEET. I use the DEET. I'm really not comfortable using it all the time, but I also use a product, Tony, called Permoxin, which I'm assuming has some permethrin in it. But, you know, a lot of times the dog will go outside, and he's got this front line or whatever tick deterrent on him. And he may come back in the house, and the tick will not stay on him, and the tick will jump off in the house. Mm-hmm. So not only treating your yard and everything else, but you got to be careful in the house, because if I sit on the ground and or the rug and play with the dog, there you might pick up a tick occasionally. So that's another concern. My question here is I use the Permoxin, as I said. I'm also wondering, oil of oregano capsules are supposed to give the tick a bad taste where he won't stay on your body for the required 24 hours that's needed. And I don't know if you heard anything about that or not.
I haven't heard anything about the oil of oregano yet as a natural thing that you take. And I'm not saying it may not work, but Dr. Perry, have you ever heard anything about that?
No, I have not. I imagine it might be a pheromone for Italian women. I'm not but you know what, about that 24-hour thing, Joe, we're not so sure that the 24 hours is required, and many of us feel that that spirochete can be transmitted in shorter time intervals. You know, the classic training is ticks got to be on you for 24 hours before catch enough spirochete. I mean, really, 23.5 hours? Mm. Did it cross the barrier?
Yep.
Like we like to say, the ticks don't read the books.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And the other thing to remember, Joe, is, again, most of the time when, you know, you get a tick on you and you've removed it, and to safely remove it, you're going to grab it right down near the base, right down with a pair of tweezers. You know, don't try to burn it off or do the other stuff, and then give it a gentle, steady tug to get that tick out. You can have it identified. The people at University of Rhode Island, Dr. Mather does that. And, of course, we do that at Big Blue Bug Solutions, too. You can bring the tick down to us or mail it in to us, and we'll be happy to identify that tick for you.
Okay, but even if I did try that oil of oregano capsule, is that something that's completely safe to use for 6 or 7 months or so, Dr. Pettirudi?
Oil of oregano.
I can't comment specifically about the product not knowing what else may be in it, Joe. Sometimes the concern about a supplement is the other agents that are used to create it. Okay. The capsule itself is a point of attention as well. I can't conceive of anything about it that would do you harm based upon what you've described. So if you have a reliable source for it and you're a confident manufacturer, it seems reasonable to try. I'm not aware of any literature nor any scientific validity as to how it can prevent ticks from happening. I think the summary, Joe, is if you're looking to prevent ticks, there are known means of doing that that are safe, and I would put my stock in that first.
All right, Joe?
Thank you very much.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. We're going to go quickly to Carol in Seacon. Carol, hi, you have a Lyme question.
Hi. Forgive me if you've already answered it. I've been listening intermittently in the car. But so I was diagnosed in January of this year with Lyme, and I really have no idea when. And I guess what's really bothersome to me is there's no way of knowing when you contracted the disease, I gather. Like, there's no technology to say you've had it for 20 years or you've had it for 3 months or whatever.
Well, you can get a sense of it. By the way, when you were diagnosed, what symptom did you have that prompted
the
diagnosis?
I wasn't really having any symptoms. I had gone to see a neurologist because I had been having some dizziness and walking into walls, and they had done a brain MRI, which was negative. But by the time I went to see the neurologist, I was fine. The symptoms had resolved. But he said, well, just, let me do a whole bunch of blood work. And my primary care doctor, who I love, had never actually tested me, I guess. And so she called me because he had, sent her the results. And she said, you're positive. And I said, well, could be false. And she said, no, because there were, 10 or 12 positive antibodies. But she had no idea when.
Okay, so that's a bit of a dilemma, right? Mm-hmm. Because here you've got these neurological symptoms that are undiagnosed. And now you're feeling well. And in my mind, I'm saying, okay, that infection could have occurred 20 years ago. And now we're just seeing the fingerprint, if you will, in the immunologic testing. Consequently, there's no way to know exactly when. Now, there are two broad kinds of antibodies. There's IgM and IgG. The IgM happens immediately and will last for about 4 to 6 months. So if you have an IgM antibody, they could say with reasonable confidence, hey, you've had this within the last 6 months. The type you have is likely the IgG, meaning that it can be there forever. You can test Tony for the chickenpox virus. He'll come up positive because he had it as a kid. Did you end up getting treated for Lyme?
Well, that's going to be the next question. So she did 2 weeks of oral doxycycline, which was fine, except that someone else said, oh, gee, I thought it should be longer treatment than that. But no, I did 2 weeks.
Good. I think that's a reasonable treatment. You can always argue that you can go longer. But listen, antibiotics can cause some harm. And as a side note, whenever you take them, you should go on an aggressive high-dose regimen of probiotic to restore your gut to balance. But no, I think your doctor handled that beautifully. A couple of weeks of antibiotic, and now you march forward with good confidence.
There you go.
And not worry about it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Just to summarize some of the stuff today, we have one real quick question. Joanne, if we can answer your question very quickly, you've symptoms of Lyme disease, but you always test negative?
That's correct.
That is the bane of the diagnostic world. Joanne, that is an invitation for an opportunity to either misdirect treatment into years and years of antibiotics. And here's the problem, Tony. Mm-hmm. You have an entity that there is no conclusive diagnosis to disprove its presence.
Right.
All the tests are negative.
Yep.
You have the symptoms. Ergo, you have the disease.
Yep.
It's a subjectively diagnosed entity. And that's not unreasonable. Here's my point of departure with persistent antibiotic therapy.
Yep.
If I can treat something and you get better in a month and you're feeling good, all right, march on. Otherwise, you got to look for more sources of information.
All right. Well, this has been a great show. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Dr. Pedretti, thank you very much for coming.
Fun.
And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh, the best way. We have a website, Intellectual Medicine, that they can go to.
Okay.
921-5934 is the office number.
Great.
Or they can call Nick back there, and he'll direct them as well at WPRO.
Well, thank you so much for coming in studio. We'll have to
do this
again sometime, because obviously a lot of great questions out there. And I invite you to stay tuned as I am immediately followed by Investing Sense and then, of course, the always entertaining John Laughlin Show. Have a wonderful and safe weekend.